those that labor in the Word. Of course, we honor the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Where would we be without the Lord tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which was laid for set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And all the church said, amen. Lift your hands and ask the Holy Ghost to help us tonight. Lord Jesus, it is not by might, it is not by power, it's not my ability. God, it's not by education, Lord, but it's not by personality, but God, it is by your Spirit. Help us tonight, God. Speak tonight, Lord. Help us in Jesus' name. Work a work in this house. Show yourself strong in this place tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus. And all the church said, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In the Bible, in the times of the Bible, they did not dress like us. They wore robes, and with a little bit of studying, you can find out, you know, how they carried their coins that they had. You will find in the book of John where that Jesus made mention, in Luke, he made mention about those that he was sending out. One time he told them not to take anything with them. The next time he told them to take a purse. When we read about Judas, we read about he had the bag. And in their day, it was customary for a man to carry a bag, or what they would call a purse, and it was just a bag with a rope around it. They didn't have pockets, and so they would take a small bag, they would put their coins in it, and have it around their neck. And they would, this is the way that they would carry those things that may be coins or whatever that they have. And whenever, you'll allow me to surmise a little bit tonight, whenever the lame man would look at people that are going into the beautiful gate, into the court of the women, that he would look for certain things, and no doubt he would look to see if possibly that man had that bag hanging around his neck, because if he had that purse bag hanging around his neck, he most probably had some gold coins or silver coins there. And whenever he looked at Peter and John, there was folks walking by that didn't have a bag. He probably let them go on by. But when he looked and he saw these men, the Bible says that he asked alms of them. And in my surmising, if you'll allow me to, I get the idea that one of those men had the bag. Judas used to have it. Judas is now gone. And so one of those men very well could have become the treasurer of the disciples and the early church, and possibly had a bag, thinking that, I might meet somebody and they're going to give the church an offer and I need something to take it and have it with me. And so he's looking and he sees them and he singles them out and he asks them for alms. And as it is, Peter stops and looks at him and tells him, look on us. And a lot of people don't ever read any humor in the Bible, but I see that kind of humorous. Hey, look on us. We're a bunch of apostolics. What are you asking us for gold for? One thing that Peter did say, amen, he did say, silver and gold have I none. Praise the Lord. None. That means he couldn't get it off of his ear, off of his finger, off of his wrist, off of his ankle, or dig it out of his navel. Amen. Silver and gold have I none. We apostolics still believe that. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah to God. Amen. 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 And so, in my mind, as I look at this, I can see the apostle reaching in that bag, feeling around, looking at the man and saying, silver and gold have I none. There's nothing in this purse. There's nothing in this bag. But what I do have, I'm going to give it to you. And the man's looking, and you know what he said? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I want to preach to you tonight on this subject. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Thank you, Jesus. I'm beginning to feel like I want to feel. I want to preach to you miracles from an empty purse. I don't know where you are tonight, and I don't know how broke you think you are in the spirit, but I come to tell somebody tonight, the emptier you are and the less you have, the more the chance of you receiving a miracle in this house tonight. Because the miracle worker is in the house. I said the miracle worker is in the house. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Our God is a miracle worker. That book that Elder Gross preached from this morning, you talk about a miracle. God created the heavens and the earth. That's a miracle. And I believe it. I'm like the old preacher said years ago, black apostolic preacher, he read that Genesis 1:1, and he stopped and he looked up and he said, now if you don't believe that, you might well close the book because it is going to get harder. Well, praise the Lord. I believe it. I believe that our God started with a miracle. I believe there's miracles in the Old Testament. I believe that there's miracles that happened in the ministry of Jesus. I believe in miracles tonight. Anybody believe in miracles in the house tonight? Anybody believe in a miracle worker tonight? Oh, God, give us a miracle in this house tonight. I have been praying, God, give us a notable miracle that people will look back and say, at Racine Camp Meeting, that's where I got my miracle. Oh, praise the Lord. You can be seated. Jesus' first miracle is not the raising of the dead. Jesus' first miracle is not the healing of a blind man.
Jesus' first miracle, really, it's to help keep a woman from being embarrassed about her wedding. Amen. That'd been the talk of the town. You believe they ran out of wedding? Ran out of wine at her wedding? There'd be all kinds of fear in every young woman that was getting married thereafter. Make sure you got enough. But Jesus came to her rescue. It doesn't make you listen to me. You don't have to be blind. You don't have to be lame to need a miracle. I'm telling you, God's in the miracle working business tonight, and He wants to do something in this house. Brother Dudley talking last night, preaching last night, and I was thinking, man, if I had any notes, he was reading them. I'm not much of a note guy. Hallelujah. I used to keep my notes a lot of times. I'd put a post-it, stick it right there. That's all I had. That's all I needed. It's something to get me started. Because when I went to the pulpit, I was looking for a place to quit. Some folks ain't never learned that yet. Holy Ghost, come on down. When I looked out there, hey, let me just tell you, evangelist, you hear? Let me give you a little piece of advice. When you walk to the pulpit, your message is not the most important thing that's happening. You want me to tell you what is? That sinner that's sitting out there that needs God, you need to be looking at him. You don't need to bore him to death. You need to get him at an altar. Let that church pray him through to the Holy Ghost. If you're looking for a reputation to be a dynamic and awesome and all that, hey, you're in the wrong business. You need to go in the car selling business. But if you're going to be an evangelist, you need to get people in an altar. Don't ever ignore sinners so you can preach your little message. Put them in the altar. God will bless you for it. Oh, praise the Lord. I ain't getting off my subject tonight. I'm going to tell you. Hallelujah. You know how I made it 24 and a half years? I can tell you one thing, baby. I know it. I know it happened. Man, we had five get the Holy Ghost this week. Oh, really? Yeah. The next question that, you know, we preachers love to brag about it. We ain't got nothing to do with it, but we like to brag about it. God's still the one that filled people with the Holy Ghost. But we like to tell it. We had five get the Holy Ghost. We in revival. Next question out of his pastor friend's mouth is, who you got preaching for you? Where's he going next? Can I call him? And you don't never have to worry about a place to preach. Just pray people through the Holy Ghost. Help me, Jesus. I'm a pastor now. I guarantee you. There's a lot of things start coming back to me within a few weeks. I was 66 years old when Brother Alviar called me. 66 years old. I'd done preached revival with Brother Copeland and Mrs. Boyd. I told her, I said, you know, there ain't no retirement in this evangelizing business. I said, what we're going to have to do is we're going to stretch our revivals. We're going to spend more time. We had a nice little house in Texas. And we'd go up and preach 3-4 weeks and go home and stay a few weeks. And I'd putter around the house fixing things. And then we'd go up and preach. I said, you know, we're just going to spend more time at the house. And then I got a phone call that changed my life. All right. I didn't ask for that job. Hey, are you hearing me? I didn't ask to stand here tonight. You know what? We got to believe God's got his hand in all of this. Jesus, in the book of Mark chapter 4, he's asleep on the boat and the storm's going and them folks is bailing water and everything else. Finally, one of them said, wake up the mighty man. And they went back there and woke him up. Don't you care? I like what you said. But he walked out there and calmed the water. Hey, that's a miracle. Chapter 5 opens up and he's in the coast of the Gadareans. He has not met by the mayor, the governor. He's met by a lunatic. Amen. And God, I'm telling you, God. is in the house. And you know, he goes back across the sea, and when he gets over there, he's met by Jairus, and Jairus says, come to my house, my little girl sleep, and on the way to raise the dead, there is an unannounced miracle, because there's a woman that said, I need a miracle. Nobody has helped me. I've been having doctors and getting worse every day. Hey, are you him? She said, if I can just touch his garment. There's no Bible for that. There's nowhere you can read that she could have read and said, look right there. God did that for them. He'll do it for me. I'm telling you, Jesus works miracles. And it may not be in the Bible. And it may not be just like you think it ought to be. But what you need to realize, God wants to do something for you. Help me, Lord. And he healed her. And he got over to Jairus' house. And he raised the dead. All them miracles. I'm going to read this. It may have been a long time since you read it. I want to read this to you. Mark 16. Verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It's not just the preacher. It's for believers. Are there any believers in the house tonight? In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's still in the apostolic church. We're serving a God. Amen. That when he walked in the flesh, his primary thing was to help people. Miracles. Miracles. Everybody said miracles. Hallelujah. You can be seated. He told the disciples, said, it's really amazing. He's talking about the Godhead. And then he told them, said, greater things than I'm doing, you're going to do. Hallelujah. I'm glad we have that revelation of who he is. He's not the second person of the Trinity. He's God Almighty. God manifested in the flesh. Amen, amen. And that God, you know, he'd come into this world as a miracle. A virgin conceived and brought forth a child. That's a miracle. He left this world and exited out of this world in a miracle. They stood there watching him go up. He came in a miracle. He done all kinds of miracles. And he went up. Are you hearing me? And right before he goes up, he transfers from himself to the church. He said, you go back to Jerusalem and you're going to be endued with power. Somebody said power. Dunamis. Amen. Dynamite. Holy Ghost power. Power to raise the dead. Power to heal the sick. Power to change your life. Power to make you a new person. Power to set you free. Power. Holy Ghost power. Help me, Lord. And so, he transfers that. I'm glad it's not like the Carmelites preaching. The days of miracles over. Surely there's no apostolics preaching that. That's got to be the dumbest thing in the world. I'd quit preaching the Holy Ghost if I was going to preach the days of revivals over with. Because I'm going to tell you, when I talk 10 tongues, it's a miracle. Are y'all hearing me? My wife was 12 years old when her mother walked out of the house and left her in the cotton fields of Arkansas. Her brothers and her daddy tried to molest her. They didn't, but they tried. Her life was set for her. And she went to live with her sister in Memphis. And an old guy that had been a drunk, that really didn't have much together, rented a little old house, and he played a steel guitar badly. And he'd play that guitar and cry and talk about how God changed his life and how sorry he used to be. And right across the street and one house over, Dorothy Poole and Betty Crouch lived. And they walked over there one night and investigated what was going on in that house. And them Baptists got the Holy Ghost talking in tongues. And God changed her life. Oh my Lord, help me, Jesus. There ain't no telling what God's going to do with some of you in this building. If he tarries, I'm telling you, he's got something for you to do. And so that power's transferred to the church. And here comes the broke, financially embarrassed preacher. Silver and gold, sticks his hand in the bag and pulls it out. Nothing. But you know what he pulled out of that empty purse, that bag? He pulled out a miracle for a man that Jesus passed by three times. Are you hearing me? Jesus went in and out of that temple three different times and walked right by that man.
All right.
Oh, praise the Lord. You know what? He left something for us to do. Oh, hallelujah. There's three ingredients you got to have a miracle. Three of them. One of them is you got to have that faith we heard about. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. I believe there's a God. That ain't all of it. I believe he answers prayer. He's a rewarder. Everybody that ever repented. Hey, are you hearing me? That wanted the Holy Ghost, he filled them with the Holy Ghost. He's a rewarder tonight. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom tonight. He wants to give you something. Every good and ever perfect gift comes from him. It's in the house tonight. The miracle is in the house tonight. Down my part of the country, they fix a gumbo. That's the way they say it. We fix a gumbo. And they will not tell you what they put in it. You just go ahead and eat it. Be glad you got it. Brother Ballester was down there preaching a little place called Lanida years ago. And they gave him coon gumbo. I had a man in the church that ate a coon one time years ago when I was pastoring Mississippi. They were on the way home and they ran over a big old coon. They grabbed him and threw him in the trunk. Went home, skinned that dude out and ate him. That night, I told him, I said, my daughter's cat came amiss and I've been worried about her. Cat, now that I know you eating coon, you might eat that cat. I don't want to come up. Don't tell. Come up here and tell me how good it is. I don't want to know. You got to have faith. You got to believe. Everybody said believe. Everybody said I'm a believer. See them bumper stickers a few years ago. If you're a believer, honk. I love the one that I seen after that. Said if you're a believer, pay tithe. Anybody can honk a horn. Well, praise the Lord. Every man, every woman in here, the Bible tells us that God gave you a measure of faith.
I'm telling you, he reached with his measuring cup, got it, and poured it into your life. Thank God for it. And thank God for preaching that adds to that. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And we take and we exercise that. According to Jude, we pray in the Holy Ghost. When we're praying in the Holy Ghost, that faith begins to be generated inside of us. And we begin to believe that there is an escape for us. Hallelujah. The second ingredient.
I ain't been here but 30 minutes. Not even 30 minutes yet. I coined an expression years ago, and they all bringing it back to me. I used to say there's no such thing as a bad 20-minute sermon. Think about it. You can endure anything for 20 minutes. The second ingredient is there got to be an impossibility. You hear me? There's got to be an impossibility. I don't know what I'm going to do, God. I can't get out of this. Doctor can't help me. Friends can't help me. Mom and daddy can't help me. Wife, husband can't help me. I don't know what to do. And then the third thing. That if you're going to have it. See, this is the part I don't understand about God. I have in my mind, and maybe some of you other men that are great Bible scriptorians, you can help me with it. I don't understand it. What I don't understand about prayer and living for God is timing.
That's true.
Timing.
That's so.
God has His time. God has His time. I don't understand it. Why? It looks like, you know, I've asked and I'm asked, and now then I'm embarrassed to ask again. And again, I'm repeating some things from last night, but I already had these written down. That unjust judge, that widow woman kept going. And the reason she got her request was because she persevered. She just kept going. She just kept going. She just kept going. She just kept going. I feel like sometimes I'm wearying you, God. And I could almost hear him say, just keep it up. There's a time coming. You're going to get your request. Pray again. Seek me again. Keep knocking. In Mark 9, they bring a boy that is a lunatic, demoniac. You think your brother-in-law's kids are bad. This kid had the devils in him. And if they camped on the way there, they didn't ride in a nice car. They had to find out where he was and they had to go. And if they camped at night, they didn't want to have an Holiday Inn. If they camped at night and they got down close to the creek, or if you're from Ohio, the creek, they had to watch that boy because them devils would get him and throw him in the water, trying to drown him. If they built a fire to cook, they had to watch him because the devils would get in him and throw him into the fire. And a man heard about Jesus. Aren't you glad you heard about one that works miracles? And so he brings him to the Lord, but the Lord is not there right then. And so he asks the disciples, and they cannot cast the devil out of him. They can't do it. Man, have I felt that way before.
I went to pray for an old man years ago, and he was in the hospital. And you know, usually when you go to the hospital, you got a little protocol. Pastor does. He goes in, fellowships with them a little while, has a verse, or maybe reads a scripture to them, and then prays with them and leaves. I walked right into the hospital. Walked right into the room. I knelt down by his bed. I took him by the hand. I said, let's have prayer. I started praying for him, and he died while I was praying. His eyes rolled back in his head, and he died graveyard dead right there. Anybody want me to pray for you tonight? You know what that tells me? I tell you what that tells me. There ain't no healing in that hand. The healer's there. There's no healing in that hand. The man that said, I cast out the devil. I'm telling you, Jesus cast the devil out. Jesus heals the sick. The Holy Ghost does it, or it doesn't get done. We're going to give God the glory tonight. There's no glory walking out of this building in the form of a man.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
We understand the book. We understand. You just keep coming. That man could have went away right then and said, well, I brought him to your disciples. Nothing happened. We're going back home. But you know what? He waited around. The Lord came. You think God ain't got that in there for a reason? You may not have got what you needed the first time. And you just keep on coming back. Way years ago, I was preaching in Kansas City for the elder Calvert, Ronnie Calvert. And there's an old woman sitting back there in the back. And she puts her arm out and goes like that and says, Pastor, get your oil. I'm coming for my miracle. She wasn't coming up there to get a little dab of oil. She wasn't coming up there to get a little attention. She was coming up there to get a miracle. If you want one, there's one for you in the house tonight. Said, but my purse is empty. Great. Wonderful. You'll probably get what you need tonight. He's a miracle worker. Timing's everything. I'm going to tell you something. Let me just throw a little caution in here. The Bible talks about demon spirits vexing people, those that were vexed of spirits.
Yes, yes, yes.
The word vex means overwhelmed.
Yes, yes.
They got people in the building that's going through fights,
yes.
Struggles in the spirit.
Yes, yes.
In a little while, those spirits are going to leave. When I was a boy in the hills of Tennessee, I watched them cast devils out. In a few days, you'd hear about some old mad dog somebody shot out there, foaming at the mouth. It don't happen that way anymore. You know why it don't happen that way anymore? Because it don't have to get out there. They got somebody sitting around crossed up in the church. And they don't have to go out the back door looking for something. They got people in the church that don't pay their tithe, that don't give their offerings, that are lying, that are stealing. They're backbiting. They got all kinds of stuff in their heart. And that spirit, I'm going to tell you, tonight, when that spirit leaves that individual after they have been vexed of the devil, I'm telling you, it's looking for some place to go. You need to have your mind on God. You need to have your mind in the Word and in the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
The miracle worker. The miracle worker. I remember when Brother Epley called me from University of Kentucky Hospital and told me about Sister Epley and told me, said, call all the preachers you know, Brother Boy. And I was calling them. The doctor was saying, don't get your hopes up. Your wife ain't going to live through the night. And the same thing that Sister Epley had, Lady Diana, sitting in the back seat of a Mercedes limo, died. Oh, praise the Lord. But prayer went up all around the globe. Oh, hallelujah. And the miracle worker walked down the hallway. Hey, are you hearing me? At the University Hospital in Louisville. And God done another miracle for us. Oh, shout hallelujah. Give us a miracle in this house tonight. You can be seated. I heard the testimony today, and it reminded me, and I've been telling it everywhere I go. I'm careful not to tell it. We'll make sure I got the right spirit, right attitude. But we got an older couple in the church, Brother Jimmy Lee's father-in-law, Brother Cox, Lane Cox. He's 88 years old. He served in World War II. He was in the Pacific, and they were getting ready to invade Japan whenever they dropped the bomb. And he testifies how God saved him. He had his hand over him all that time. He could have died in combat. But we have prayer meeting on Saturday night. We just started that when I got there, and that's about the only thing I added. Everything else was so superb and right. I don't have to add anything. Hallelujah. But we added a prayer meeting on Saturday night. Come as you are. Boy, I've had some folks try and tell me, do you know we used to go eat on Saturday night, and sometimes at some of the other churches they have singings, but we can't go no more. I said, no, because you need to pray. Help me, Jesus. You don't pray, you don't stay, is what they taught me. Years ago, at a church in Mississippi, they had 62 people claim to get the Holy Ghost in a revival. And me being who I am, I wanted to believe that. And I asked old Brother Joe Slade, who's dead and gone now, but I asked Brother Slade, I said, Elder, do you think they really got the Holy Ghost? 62 of them? He said, he always called me by my whole name when he talked to me. He said, Brother David Boyd, they don't need the Holy Ghost to stay. Because there'll be some preacher come by and clean their clock. And it takes God to sit in an apostolic church. That's why some of y'all ain't here. You couldn't take it. You come back for camp meeting and we're so glad you're here. But you need to be here Sunday when they're having church. You need to be here Wednesday or whatever night it is having church. You need to give your tithe and offering. You need to come in here and prove you can take preaching. Hallelujah. Y'all got a preacher. We everybody else was so thrilled when Brother Epley came to Racine. We were absolutely thrilled. It got that motor home off the freeways. He called me one day, and he had his GPS set for shortest route. You don't do that. You set it for the one with the most interstate. He's coming down Highway 98 out of Hattiesburg, headed to Texas. That's not the way you go. And he's talking to me, and all of a sudden I hear, ow! And then nothing. And he called me back. He done throwed Sister Epley all over that motorhome. He didn't see that stop sign until it was... Ah! I'm talking about miracles tonight, church. It's a miracle that he made it to Racine, and we're glad for it. I'm not telling you he drives bad. It's worse than that. I'm his friend. I can say that. I rode with him. I can say that. That's why Sister Epley has her own vehicle. You go ahead, I'll wait on you. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. Brother Cox, comes up to me at prayer meeting and says, Pastor, me and Sister Cox need to talk to you in the office if you don't mind. I said, okay. So Sister Boyd came in the office with me, and we're sitting there, and Sister Cox is sitting there. She's 81, I think. She's sniggering. She said, I told Lane, oh, Brother Boyd will be thinking we're separating or something. They've been married since Moby Dick was a minna. And he said, Brother Boyd, sinner man, come over to my house the other day. And he asked me, said, he wanted to give a contribution to the church. Two air conditioners in the church had just gone out, and the third one would go out within 2 days. And I said, really? He said, yeah. So he just walks over and hands me a check. And I looked at it, and like I fell out of my chair, and I said, my wife said, go get the other men, this board of directors, and bring them in here, and the church secretary. And I passed it around to all of them, and they looked at it. And I told the secretary, I said, Monday, get it in the bank quick. $50,000. Thank you, Jesus. You know how I know that's a miracle? I didn't do it. Church didn't do it. I never met the man that did it. Jesus is still working miracles. You need a help tonight. I'm telling you, the miracle worker's in the house. You can be seated just a moment. We paid the church off. That was a good feeling. We put 3 new air conditioners in the church. That was a good feeling. Bought a van. Bring them little urchins off the street. I've been telling the church there's 2 classes of people. That if you're kind to them, God will bless you. One of them is little children. He loved little children when he'd walk around here. And the other one was old women. As a matter of fact, his half brother James said, pure religion and undefiled before God. Visit them widows and orphans in their affliction. You being sweet to them little old kids. Well, I'm telling you, bring them kids in here and let some teacher teach them about Jesus. He'll smile on you. He'll bless you. Got a lady in the church to pray through. Just a few, couple, 2 or 3 months after I was there, and she looks the part. She's a Pentecostal. She works at a Circle K. That's one of them Stop and Robs. I think that's what they call them in L.A., Stop and Rob. And hers is right off the interstate. Off the interstate 10, just about a block, back on the interstate 20 miles to Texas. They like them like that. 4 o'clock in the morning, Sister Taylor's in there. These 2 guys walk in, they got masks on. They stuck a gun in her face and said, give us some money. She said, I was looking at that gun. She said, I was trying to see how big it was, what gun it was. They'd have picked me up off the floor. He'd been like my brother when they robbed him in New Orleans. I said, what kind of gun did the guy have? He said, I don't know, but the hole weighed 4 pounds, it looked like. Sister Taylor standing there, and they show it on the security tape. She's standing there,
And she looks at him and she said, "No, I ain't giving you the money. You ought to be ashamed of what you're doing. I'm going to tell God what you're doing. I'm asking God right now. He's going to stop you. You ain't got no business doing this." And the guy looked at her, put the gun in his pocket and ran. Hey, I know a miracle worker, and his name is Jesus. Anybody need a miracle tonight? Let's stand. Woo! Brother Triplett invited me to come and preach here, and it never worked out. I'd have liked to come when he was here. I like Brother Triplett. He used to go down to New Bethel and preach. I remember he used to go. He had a big old Bible. Brother Couch, you know, he'd come up there, and he'd be the Bible teacher. He had a Bible, and it had pages and pages of notes stuck in there. And he'd come, and he'd have one of them legal-sized yellow deals and notes written out. And I knew I should be in trouble when I seen him start turning the pages. So, Brother Gross had a small one today, and he's turning the pages. But this church has always been noted for prayer, yes. Praise, yes. And believe in God. Amen. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. It's old time Pentecost. Some folk wouldn't know old time Pentecost if you hit them right in the head. I never seen whole churches running until I was probably 25, 30 years old. I used to see them old women dancing, their hair slinging them bobby pins, men dancing in the spirit. Anybody ever remember anything like that? But I want to do something old time Pentecost tonight. I prayed about this meeting and I told somebody, I said, I felt like the proverbial baloney between the two pieces of fine bread. I have heard some awesome preaching. We're going to hear some more tomorrow night. And so this is just Brother Boyd. I'm going to do something old time Pentecost. I've been praying about it. I want to have a prayer line up here tonight. Now, I only want folks to come that need a miracle. There's backsliders in this building right now that the devil tells you, you can't live for God. You've tried so many times. You need to try one more time. One thing you need to do is quit doing what you've been doing, because what you've been doing hasn't been doing it right. I want all the preachers come up this way. All the preachers, all the apostolic preachers come up there. We're going to do this old time Pentecost here. Come on, all the preachers, just come up here and stand right across the front here. Hallelujah. Come on, all the preachers. Hallelujah. I am. Yeah, I am. Everybody just come on, 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 come on. Okay, 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 okay. All right. Brother Wesley Jackson, you lead everybody on that side. Go right in front of them. Right over there. Right over there. Or y'all go right on over. Y'all face back this way. Face these good brothers. All you brothers, just, hey, right here, brother. Go right on over that way. There you go. There you go. There we go. We ain't got no organization. See, if we was in an organization, we'd already have this organized. Y'all squeeze in tight. Y'all squeeze in tight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now take about a step forward. Look at there. Look at there. Look at there. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. We get ready to make the devil mad. Now this is a bottle of oil. I pastored an old woman years ago. She was kind of
She's a little flaky, but she's a good old woman. She's kind of a little flaky. And she sold insurance, and she was out in the way out in the country in Mississippi, and she said she came upon this white clapboard building, and she just wondered if it was a Pentecostal church, and she didn't know, so she couldn't get in the front door, so she crawled in the window. This woman was 60-something years old. She crawls in the window. She goes up, and she's looking. I said, what was she looking for? She said, I was looking for a bottle of oil, because I knew if they had a bottle of oil, it's a Pentecostal church. And bottle of oil. Brother Dudley, you are the official anointer tonight. Unbelief's dead. He buried him last night. But I'll go over there and stand right by Brother Wesley Jackson. Oh, how many of y'all ever seen this before? Oh, yes. This old time Pentecost. Now, if you want a miracle tonight, and you need a healing, and you need something done in your life, it don't make no difference if it's finances. It don't make no difference if the devil's been tormenting you. It don't make no difference what it is. All I want you to do is get on that wall over there. Y'all move them chairs out of the way. And get on that wall over there, and you come through here. One of these men of God is going to touch the Lord for you. You just come through with your hands raised. There's a God that's in the building that's going to work a miracle tonight. Can I get a witness? There's a miracle coming down a dusty road. Hallelujah. All right, come on. Let's do it in Jesus' name. You need a miracle. Come on.